When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's talk more about all this with the Diddy. He has seen a lot of Eagle seasons, and we're starting to... Super Bowl. We're starting to sniff it a little bit. Now, maybe that's a little premature. Maybe all the calls week two and four and five and seven and eight, blasting Sirianni, were a little premature. Let's see how it nets out for the Diddy. Ray Dittinger joins us every single Monday at this time. And, of course, he is brought to us by Verizon. Phones were not made to be broken, but life, it happens. So when your phone breaks, Verizon's got you. Trade in any phone at your local Verizon store in any condition guaranteed and get a great deal on one of their best 5G phones with unlimited ultimate. The Diddy, a true Hall of Famer, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Joe. How are you doing?
Ray, I'm thinking those two words. And I know it's ridiculous because a couple weeks ago, everyone was like, they might not even make the playoffs. But, man, Ray, they do. And, of course, grain of salt when you consider the five teams they've beaten the last 5 weeks. But the Eagles really have become a pretty damn good team, Ray.
They have. They have. I mean, that's fair to say. It's also fair to say that they've beaten five, you know, won five in a row, but they've all been bad teams.
Yeah.
You know, that's fair to say, too. I mean, you probably should. I mean, just to keep some sense of equilibrium, you probably have to put that into the mix, too. But you can't deny the fact they're playing very well. They're playing very well. And, you know, I mean, yesterday, it's funny. I mean, yesterday, it didn't feel like they ran the ball all that great, and at the end of the game, they ran for 187 yards. You know,
sure.
It wasn't the game like the Giants game a couple weeks ago, where Saquon Barkley is just taking the thing over, and you know, and you're saying, "My God, they're just running this team into the ground." You didn't get that feeling yesterday, but at the end of the day, you know, 38 carries, 187 yards, and they average 5 yards a carry. I mean, that's the kind of thing that it just sort of sneaks up on you.
Ray, I agree. Ray, what impressed you the most yesterday?
Oh, the defense. The defense. I know the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't very good, and I know that Cooper Rush isn't a very good quarterback, and all of that stuff. But the defense, it's now been over a period of weeks now that the defense has been playing this good. I mean, the last five games, they're giving up an average of 10 points a game. They're giving up just barely over 200 yards. Last three games, they've had 10 takeaways. Defensively, and the thing is, they're playing so fast. They're playing so physical. They're swarming around the ball. They're tackling really well. I mean, earlier in the year, I remember doing a show with you. I guess it was probably after the Tampa game. Probably was. When we were talking about, you know, this is a really bad tackling team. And at the time, that was fair to say. But since coming out of the bye, I mean, Vic Fangio has really tightened that defense up, and they're playing really well right now. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do on Thursday when they play against a much better team and a much better offense with more playmakers and a dynamic young quarterback, to see if they can do that again. But the way they're playing right now is really, really impressive. And, you know, offensively, they're, you know, I mean, Hurts had a couple turnovers yesterday. But other than that, I mean, he played really well, and they continue to control the game on the ground, and you know they're doing the things that winning teams do. And the fact is that at 7-2 right now, they're sitting in a pretty good place.
Ray, what was the major difference that you saw that made the second half look so much nicer for our offense?
I thought what happened in this game, and I kind of thought you might walk into this down there because of the situation the Cowboys found themselves in. I mean, their season had totally gone off the rails. They were playing at home. They were 0-3 at home. They're giving up an average of like 35 points a game at home. They're getting just brutalized in the press. They're getting brutalized on sports talk radio down there. They're being made into a national laughing stock. And I just had a feeling that even though the Eagles were the far, far better team, that they were walking into a tough spot down there because, you know, the Cowboys were in a position where this was one of those kind of circle the wagons game. You know, this is kind of our last stand game. And I thought you were going to walk into that, and you did. In the first half, you kind of did. And Mike Zimmer, who was the defensive coordinator, I mean, he threw everything he had at the Eagles in the first half. I mean, they were blitzing. They were doing some stuff that is not really typical of Mike Zimmer. But, I mean, he threw everything he had and then some at the Eagles in the first half to the point where, I mean, they were all over the place. I mean, you know, Hurts had 12 dropbacks, and he was sacked 5 times. So that was not easy. I mean, you look at the final score, it looks easy, but watching the first half wasn't easy. But what I think what impressed me was that the Eagles never got flustered with that, that they just continued doing what they were doing. And it, there was just the feeling there that, look, we'll work this thing out. We've made a couple of mistakes. We're going to have to adjust to a few things. You know, okay, well, they're coming at us maybe a little bit more than we thought we were, but we're the better team. We'll figure this out. And, you know, they got that touchdown late in the first half, which really helped. Yeah. They had that nice drive, and they scored a touchdown late at the end of the first half. And you kind of get the feeling that they're back in control. And then in the second half, they came out, and they were totally in control. But that's, you know, that's the NFL. I mean, every week you look at the scores in the NFL. You look around the scoreboard at the end of the day. And there's always a couple of games where you just say, damn, how did that happen? You know, I mean, that, you know, how did that team beat that team? That just, and for a while there in the first half, you were starting to wonder, you know, are the Eagles in one of those games right now? Are the Eagles going to be that team that tonight people say, damn, how did that happen? Right. And I think maybe fans could have thought that, feared that. But I don't think the team did. It looked to me like the team knew exactly where they were, knew exactly what they were up against, and had total confidence that, don't worry, you know, we got this. It's just going to take us a little longer maybe to get control of it, but we're going to get control of it. Just that kind of the way they went about it in the second, at the end of the first half when they scored that touchdown and then came out in the second half, complete total control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I sort of took away from it. They won a game that they should have won, and they won it maybe a little tougher than they thought, but that's not the bad thing either. But now you have to look at the reality. Now you have to look at the fact that you have a really short turnaround.
Yeah.
You got to play a really good team who's right there with you, almost shoulder to shoulder on Thursday night. And then beyond that, then you got a long trip to Los Angeles. You got to play the Rams, and then you got to play Baltimore down in Baltimore. So
how shoulder to shoulder, Ray? This Washington team, it really short week. How good are they?
I think offensively, I think they're quite good. Defensively, they had a lot of problems, but I think Quinn has done a really good job putting things in place. I mean, I think early in the season, like 3 weeks into the season, they were like the 25th ranked defense, and that's sort of where I thought they were. And now you look at where they are, and they're much better. I mean, they've improved steadily. Mm-hmm. But I think the Eagles have, I hesitate to say a big advantage, but I think they have a significant advantage in this game coming up, because the Eagles won their game yesterday fairly comfortably. I mean, they got complete control of the game in the second half, and in the fourth quarter, you had most of your key players on the bench, and
sure,
they were able to take they were able to sort of cruise control through the second half of that game. Really, they were. Whereas you look at what Washington went through yesterday. I mean, they just had a brutal game. I mean, they just had a brutal toe-to-toe, a total slugfest with a really tough Steelers team, and went up losing it in heartbreaking fashion at the end. And now I think that's the kind of game that's tougher physically and emotionally to come back from on a short week than where the Eagles are, which is a pretty comfortable win where a lot of your key players got some rest in the fourth quarter. You know, and the fact that the Eagles are playing at home, I think those things factored together doesn't guarantee you anything, but I think it gives the Eagles a better situation trying to go into the game on Thursday night.
The Diddy, Ray Dittinger with us, as he is every Monday this time. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Of course, the game Ray's talking about, John's talking about that Thursday, that is a big game, and that's going to be a really coveted ticket, the most coveted ticket this year for the Birds for sure. And, of course, Rhea, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we give tickets away. I mean, the ticket's ultimately given away Thursday, but reminder to everyone listening, you got to listen tomorrow at 8, Wednesday at 8, and Thursday at 8, because on Thursday, after 3 days, we're giving the tickets away.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
And the way the game is played is you got to know the name we say at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Three different names. String those names together on Thursday when we give you the cue to call, and you can win them. So listen and win. Ray, let's talk about Sirianni for a moment here. I'm curious if you think the town owes him an apology. And here's what I mean by this. Not for criticism of him going for fourth and you know, 17, which never happened, but you get the point. I mean, he had some bad decisions, and I think the town was proper to criticize him at times. However, the narrative out there for most was, the guy's a joke, he's a bad coach. Does the town owe him an apology for those kind of sentiments?
Oh, I don't know. It kind of comes with the territory, you know. I think that if you listen, I mean, the criticism for people to be unhappy. I mean, this all sort of rolls back to the Cleveland game, you know, where he's yapping with the fans there at the end of that game. It sort of really started there. Was that a bad look? Yeah, it was. You know, there was. I mean, I think as a coach, you're always just better off to ignore that kind of stuff. It's hard to do. I mean, human nature, you kind of want to say something back, but. If you're a head coach in the NFL, you're better off to just walk away from that kind of stuff. He didn't. I mean, he's not wired that way. But if he's going to do that, then he's going to get some blowback, which he did. And then off of the last game, you know, when people were questioning his decision-making against Jacksonville, totally warranted. I mean, you coach a game that way, people are going to ask you questions. I think that, listen, if he feels like that people owe him an apology, well, okay, that's on him. But I think that in this town particularly, you're going to have to expect that. I mean, if you're going to be a coach in this town, you kind of have to expect
that.
Well,
Ray, let me ask the question if I could.
Here's the thing, Joe. I mean, you just got the overriding thing. From week to week, people's feeling about coaches is going to change based on win or lose, based on decisions that are made. I mean, that's, you know, the people are going to be taking your temperature all the time in this town, and some weeks it's going to be hotter than others. But you have to. I have always been kind of a long view kind of guy, the big picture kind of guy. I look at somebody's entire body of work and look. Was I frustrated with him watching the game against Jacksonville? Absolutely, because some of the decisions to me didn't make sense then; they don't make sense now. But the fact of the matter is, you look at his record and you look at the fact that, I mean, almost every year he's been coaching this team 7-2, 9 weeks into the season. Well, that's damn good. You know, and you can credit the players, and you should, but the head coach has got to get some credit for that, too. And, you know, I think that from week to week, if he's going to do some things that are going to drive you nuts, which I think he's inclined to do, you kind of have to take a step back and just say, yeah, you know what, some of it's unorthodox, and some of it ain't what I would do in that situation. But the fact of the matter is, you look at his record, and the guy does win.
Doesn't it seem like he's, I don't know, comporting himself differently after the games now? I don't know what it is.
I do, John. But I think, Ray, here's what I was more driving. And, Ray, John, I agree with you. But, Ray, here's what I'm more driving at. I think he's a good coach. You know, like all that other stuff aside, not the fourth down decisions, that's part of it, but how he acts aside, I think he's a quality NFL coach. And I think most people in this town have not been willing to say that.
The record would certainly say that. I mean, you have to ultimately judge everybody by the record, and his record is really good. I mean, he's got the highest winning percentage of any coach that's ever coached this team.
Coach have the same success, Ray? Would, I don't know. I don't even know what to compare this to.
Well, here's the point, Ray. Here's the counterbalance in the four years. They have faced a lot of bad teams, a lot, with quarterbacks out. This team stinks. I mean, they have had an easy schedule for most of the 3.5 years he's been their coach.
I don't know
that you can say you had an easy schedule for 3.5 years.
The talent differential. Let's talk. I think what I feel is there's a talent differential between our team and a lot of our opponents.
Well, that's
usually. And I know that Nick has done a great job with this team's winning record, but I wonder if we had ended up with Dan Quinn here by some stretch of fate, if we would be better off.
Yeah, well, who knows? All right, Ray, let's get to a couple other things.
One thing I would say is I think he is. Look, I've been covering this team a long time and watching them even longer, and I don't think I've ever seen an Eagles coach that's quite like this guy, in terms of the way he looks and acts and to borrow John's word, comports himself.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen a lot of coaches come through here, and I've never seen one quite like him who is as emotional, as wired the way he is. Some of the, you know, the gestures, the sideline behavior, and it's different, and it probably isn't to everybody's taste. But again, I think if you're any kind of a fan, you got to kind of rely on the bottom line. And yeah, you know, does this guy win? And this guy wins most of the time. And right now, the way they're playing, I mean, they're right there in the NFC. I mean, they're right there with the top teams with a chance to really do something.
Sure are. All right, Ray, let's do one more here as we look at it Thursday. And I'm curious, tail of the tape of the quarterbacks, not who was better, not who will be better in future years. Who is better, Ray, Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels?
Oh, I mean, you got to go with Hurts because, I mean, there's a better sampling. I mean, we've seen him take a team to a Super Bowl. You know, mm-hmm. We've seen Jaden Daniels take a team through half a season. So if you ask me if I have to take one over the other, I'll take Hurts because I've seen him long term and I've seen him win big games and I've seen him play really well. But I mean, Daniels is very good. I felt that he was the best quarterback coming out in the draft. I liked him better than Williams at the time. I think that's been borne out. He plays with a poise that is uncommon among young quarterbacks. You know, when you look at his stats, I mean, I don't know what they are after yesterday's game, but going into the game, he had a quarterback rating of 130. I'm sorry, he had a quarterback rating of 107. But what I found interesting was, if you break it down, his quarterback rating in the fourth quarter was 130. And that's not likely. You don't see that with rookie quarterbacks. I mean, you'll have rookie quarterbacks that will have good seasons, and you look at their overall rating, can be pretty high. But if you break it down, generally the fourth quarter isn't as good because it's the fourth quarter, because there are bigger decisions to be made and the pressure's on and so forth. This kid's fourth quarters, he's been good the whole game, but his fourth quarters are his best quarters. That's very unusual for a rookie quarterback. And I saw an interview with Zach Ertz last week where Zach Ertz said, you know, people have got to stop talking about this guy as a rookie quarterback. I mean, he's way past the point of being a rookie. He might have been rookie week one, week two, but he ain't a rookie now. And if you watch him play, that's very true. So I think he's a real special player. And look, he's coming off a tough loss yesterday, and you know, he's playing with a bad rib injury, and I give him all the credit in the world for that. But I think that the Washington team, it's been a long time, but I think they finally have a quarterback they can build around. So I have the utmost respect for the guy. I had the utmost respect for him when I saw him play at LSU. But if you're asking me right now to put him on a scale, you know, I'll go with Jalen Hurts because I've seen him play a lot longer and I've seen him win the bigger games.
Ray, we love having you on the program, particularly with a 7-2 football team. We might even be talking to you weekly in that month of February, Ray. It's possible. Ray,
that would be fun.
That would be real fun. Ray, have a great rest of the day, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Actually, we'll talk
to you.
You
guys do the same.
We'll talk to you on Friday. Thank you, Ray. Ray Diddy right there.